The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hello to Mr. Pete Wicks.
Hello, Miss Coleman.
Hello to all of our listeners. Hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good 4 a.m., good whatever time you're listening, good time to you.
I mean, that's potentially one of the worst openings to a show we've ever had.
I just feel like it was a bit monotone. That's the only problem I found with it.
It was a little bit monotone, and it just didn't really know where it was going, that one, did it?
Well, it was because I don't think everybody listens on a Friday at 6 p.m. I think people listen at any time. So I was just, you know, reaching out to everyone just so they all feel included and welcome, like a one big family.
So we could have gone with hello to everyone, wherever you are, whatever time it is.
Yeah, but that would be normal. Oh, come on.
That's true. We're not normal. What are you drinking?
This is actually hormonal tea. You asked.
Excellent. Okay. Well, yeah. So to everyone listening, for everyone that is sitting having a beer or having a hormonal tea or whatever you're doing, welcome to the dating show on FUBAR Radio with Cece Coleman and myself, Dickhead from Essex.
Oh, come on. That's not you. It's not you. That's some twat from The Sun that wrote that once. And then it doesn't mean it has to stick with you. It's only been, what, 8 years? 9 years? 8 years? How long have you
done something like that? It's about years.
Yeah.
Right, this week, what's our topic this week?
It is dating with an illness with our guest Lauren Mayen, who actually she's been on your podcast and she's been on my show.
She's done your show, she's done my podcast. I randomly bumped into her a couple of months ago as well. Lauren, when she did my podcast, she actually had a mug with my face on it.
Nice.
She was drinking.
That's an effort.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder
what she's going to turn up to today. I want my face in a mug.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and
see. I could drink it with my hormonal tea.
Yes, that would be
lovely.
Weird. Yeah, if you were just drinking hormones out of my face.
Okay, that was a big swallow for that one. That's weird, Pete. You've had to take it too fucking far, haven't you?
I know. Well, listen, why not? Why not? We've also got the Love the Way You Lie game, listeners' questions and advice. But before we do all that,
boop, 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 boop. Education
station.
Yeah, it's too late for a coffee for me, so I've had to drink hormonal tea instead, which makes me boop, 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 boop.
But you sound like you're doing, you know, when you go to like a jazz bar and you get one of them people that did ba 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 boo, like
yes,
all that sort of
yes.
shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like that today, actually. I'm quite animated.
Boo, 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 like boo. All that sort of shit. Yeah. Okay. I find them really fucking annoying when people do
that. Yeah, I do.
Oh,
just calm down.
Either sing or get a fucking instrument. Don't boop, boop, boop everywhere, you fucking prick.
Right.
Oh, I've had a bad weekend.
I was going to say, has it been one of those ones?
It's been a bad week. No, it's not. It's not really. Right. So, dating sex book.
Yeah. Education station.
Very simple. Very simple this week. Oh. Very, very simple. I think you're going to get this one. Okay. So, it's a peanivore.
Peanivore?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me think. No, I've got nothing.
Come on.
Peanivore.
Think it through.
Can you give me a clue?
Give you a clue.
Yeah. It's obviously something to do with penis, but like...
That was going to be my clue.
Oh.
All right, I'll tell you what. Listen, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. So okay. If you are a herbivore, you are what?
No idea.
What?
I have no idea.
If you're a carnivore, what are you? What do you do?
I feel like you're speaking another language.
You eat meat.
Oh.
If you're a herbivore, you eat vegetables, plants. Yeah.
I've never heard that term.
What?
No.
What?
I haven't.
Cece, listen.
Okay, so peanivores, you only eat penis.
It basically means your diet consists mainly of dick. But either way, forget that now. How have you never heard of carnivore and herbivore?
I think I've heard of carnivore, but I haven't heard of herbivore. I think that's a trend.
No, it's... For example, dinosaurs back in the day, you had carnivores and herbivores.
This is turning into a history lesson. I love it.
It's not a trend. Like, it's not like
Hashtag herbivore.
I don't even know what to say to this anymore. So it's like a that's the like scientific word for whatever mammal or whatever that only eats plants, or a carnivore is one that only eats meat, and I've just given you one that only eats dick.
Well, I appreciate the breakdown.
Anyway, so peanivore, just someone that loves the dick.
Thanks, Pete, for the history lesson and the education.
There we go. I mean, that was a slightly different textbook this week. I feel like I should just say spunk or jizz or something just to make it a little bit filthy again.
Well, that's the language that I speak. So now you've gone too far this week.
All right. Spunk, dick, discharge. How about that? Is that better?
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prolapse. Next week.
Oh,
Move on.
Yeah. Let's move on to weird and wonderful, even though I love that word, weird and wonderful dating news. Are you ready? Okay. We're all going to take five.
Okay.
Especially me. Right. My Tinder match paid me to pose as his girlfriend and meet his mum on our first date. A woman from LA has opened up about a date she had, quickly turned into the most bizarre experience of her life. While swiping on Tinder, she received a message from a man called Ryan asking her, "How spontaneous are you?" Despite it not being in her nature, she said very. And within the hour, Ryan had come to her apartment and they were driving into town. In the car, they got to know each other. And to the woman's surprise, they pulled up to a very bougie restaurant in Miami. They go inside and the waiter talks to them, takes them to a private room and with stunning views over the beach. The woman can't believe her luck. Who is this mystery millionaire? God, this sounds like Tinder swindler, doesn't it? However, when they get to the room, there is a table full of about 10 people with an older woman sat at the head. The pair enter and Ryan goes over to the lady and says, "Happy birthday, mum." At this point, she started to get confused with the diners turning around excitedly and exclaiming, "Oh my God, Ryan, you've brought her," as if they'd been eagerly anticipating her arrival. Utterly bemused, the woman goes along with the facade and makes up an entire story about herself to make up for this pretentious company she found herself in, convincing them that she was, in fact, Ryan's girlfriend. Afterwards, Ryan was impressed and asked her if she'd go on more family dates with her. Initially, the woman was really pissed off and declined. However, then Ryan offered to pay her for her endeavors, and she decided, why not make some extra cash? She ended up going on three more dates with him to family events. I think that's quite genius, to be fair. Why not? No?
No.
No, maybe, yeah, but I mean, look, okay, but this isn't us.
I mean, she's basically prostituting herself in a way, which is fine.
What is it?
No problem with that whatsoever. However, I just think it's a bit odd. Like if he's got all this dough and she obviously matched with him, so he can't be that bad a looking guy or whatever else. I don't understand why he has to pay someone to go and do the family stuff, unless he just doesn't like getting close to people, in which case I understand. But why would I don't know. I just find
there's
a bit
obviously some, like, that's what I mean. They're not, you know, there's something weird about it, but at the same time, like, it's kind of harmless. He obviously is, there's something going on with him. He needs a date, she needs some money. Like, no one's being hurt, right? Well, actually, maybe the parents is, because they believe their son's met them.
I do think it would be quite fun, though, to just go somewhere and just make up a complete story. Like, you know, I'm an astronaut.
I think for her to
I'm not
go
sure anyone would
it,
believe right? that if I said that, but you know what I mean? Like, if you could just...
Yeah, but it's quite fun, right? You turn up and someone's got a view of you and you make up something completely different. You can be anybody you want to be, and that's what she's done. She's just...
When you're back in the UK, can we do it to each other?
What? To go just turn up and be...
You know what? I've actually got a similar story to this, thinking about it.
Go on.
I went to a wedding last year. I think I told you, I went to a wedding last year of a friend of mine. It was a very, very posh wedding, super, super posh. And I took one of my very good friends, who's a girl, because it was a plus one wedding. And I thought, I don't really know necessarily a lot of people that are going to be there. And we spent the entire day, obviously we're not together. I know her boyfriend as well, so... But we're really, really good friends. We turn up to the church and then you go to the reception and that after. And me and her spent the entire day telling people different stories about how we met and why we're together and how long we've been together. And it was really, really funny because no one really knew us and they thought we were a couple. So
They were like, hold on, he said, but she said that. Like,
yeah. Which was actually really funny because me and her kept laughing about it. So actually, I do get it then. I didn't have to pay her though. But,
yeah, it's interesting. What do you know? What, like, as long as no one's getting hurt,
and Well, the next story is a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I think you're going to be able to tell this beautiful story from the headline.
Okay.
I helped bring my friend back to life after his heart stopped. Now we're a couple.
Okay.
Oh, prolapse. So, well, sorry, I can't just keep randomly saying that throughout the show. But
you definitely can.
Yeah. All right. Well, it just makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. Prolapse.
You're doing it then.
So, when friends Steve, 53, and Emma, 40, took their dogs out for a walk together in June 2021, they had no idea that their lives were about to change forever. After stopping for a bite to eat in a local pub, Steve suffered a cardiac arrest and collapsed. At first, Emma didn't know what was happening, but she quickly realized something was very wrong, so cried out for someone to call an ambulance. Steve clinically died after his heart stopped, with doctors later saying that 91% of people who go through what he did would die.
Are you pausing for effect?
No. I just swallowed the wrong hole. It's maybe a little bit of prolapse. Fortunately, Emma had completed a first aid course many years back as part of her Duke of Edinburgh Award and was able to successfully perform CPR on Steve and ultimately save his life. After he was taken to hospital, Steve spent 10 days in ICU in a medically induced coma. Doctors told his nearest and dearest to prepare for the worst and warned that at the very minimum, they could expect brain damage. Thankfully, Steve rallied against the odds, making progress day by day. He's now at a stage where he can take moderate exercise and go out for walks with his dogs. Inspired by their terrifying experiences, Steve and Emma have since held St. John's Ambulance courses, hoping to highlight the importance of being prepared for such unexpected situations. They are also training themselves too. Having spent so much time together, the pair started dating. Emma began to realize just how much Steve meant to her as he began his grueling recovery process, and the feeling was absolutely mutual. The pair celebrated their first Valentine's Day this year and will also be celebrating another important milestone on June 27th, marking Steve's first birthday. I presume first birthday since he died.
Yeah.
And the day Emma helped bring him back from the dead. He even has the date of his rebirth tattooed on his arm.
Wow.
Steve and Emma, we love that story. Steve, you're a fucking miracle. Emma, you're just a fabulous person by the sounds of it.
Also, like, I think it's lovely, you know, I know your views on Valentine's Day, but when you put that story into perspective and put that on Valentine's Day, how lovely is that? Like a day of celebration, you know, for just them, for him, for both. Is there so much meaning to it? Such a beautiful, beautiful story. Wow.
We don't often, normally we take the piss out of pretty much everything we say on the show, but not that one. We like that one. Steve and Emma, much love.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're saying that like they wrote in. We just found that. So Steve and Emma aren't listening, but...
I presume they are going to listen because... they would.
No, because this is just Weird and Wonderful Dating News. We could have picked this out of anywhere.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, this isn't listeners' questions and stories.
Any friends of Steve?
If anyone knows Steve and Emma, just tell them that, you know.
There's
like a food bar radio, like big love and that, you know.
Big up.
So.
Okay, shall we bring our guests on? Because I feel like this is... I was going to say, is there any other words you'd like to share before we bring on Lauren?
Do you want a word of the day? Why don't you give us a word?
No, I like to just go with the flow, you see, like go with the flow. So I'm just going to go with the flow. And if anything comes up, also prolapse, you've gone up the here. Do you know what I mean? Anything I go for is it's not quite going to match. So
No, I
just
think
keep.
that there is things that you could.
Oh, have you got things in mind? Have you?
I've got many
Go
things in mind.
low, go low,
How
go
low can you
low,
go?
go low.
How low can you go? Was that low? Or did that just sound
Yeah,
like?
I'm just
How high can
I'm
you go?
no, I can't do
Your love is lifting me higher.
I think you can go higher than that. I know you can. Just grab your balls, give a little squeeze, and then try.
I need both hands then. Oh, let's move on. Come on then. Let's prolapse. Sorry, no, sorry. Move on, I meant.
Let's not prolapse. Lauren. So Lauren is, if you don't know who she is, you should. She's a cancer activist and founder of Girls Versus Cancer. She was diagnosed with grade 3 breast cancer in 2016, which is when she started the Girls Versus Cancer blog to share her experiences. In 2017, she was finally given the all clear after battling through 8 rounds of chemotherapy and 21 doses of radiation. Wow. She later became the host of the BBC podcast You, Me, and Big C, sharing her story in a comic way. As I said, she has been on Pete's podcast and she's been on First Dates Hotel. So, Lauren, welcome. Talk to us. Hi, let's go.
Hello, love.
How are you?
I'm all right. I sound like Pat Butcher because I've got a bit of a cold, so please excuse
Well,
me.
yeah,
I
yeah, I'm
sound
more
like a
like
bloke.
Frank. Yeah, I've got more of a Frank Butcher going on, to be
So it's
honest.
like three men on the podcast
Pet.
today. I'm same. I'm really nasal today.
Oh, it's back. The mug is back.
It's tradition now.
It
Where's
is
my
tradition.
face? Where's
Well, I'm gonna have to get one with you, Cece.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. So basically, Lauren, when she did how long ago was that, Lauren? That's a couple of years, three.
No, I weren't that. Yeah, well, a couple. It was during the pandemic.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, see what I mean? I
It
don't even
was.
know what I
Oh,
don't know
I've lost
where's
the year
time
as well.
gone.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Flies when you're having fun. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I did Pete's tattoo podcast and I didn't tell him and I just started sitting there drinking out of this.
Yeah, and I was thinking, what the fuck, who is that?
Was he professional? Was he good? Was he all
He
right?
may have
But
said some lewd or crude things, but it's
oh,
Pete. But I
Pete, can we go lower than that today?
Oh, listen, Lauren is the perfect person to join us on because Cece and I are fucking disgusting. And everyone
Okay,
comes on
so
and they're like, oh, are we allowed to swear? And we're both like, yeah, fucking do what you want.
literally
I've been
said to Steph this morning, I was like, can I swear? And she was like, it's not a problem, just try and rein it in a bit. But
Yeah,
we've
no,
got a word of the
rein
day
it in a bit.
today.
Yeah, we've got a word of the day today, and it's
Oh, Pete,
Cece.
go on. What is it? No, Pete, you share.
It's prolapse. Just because I don't
Oh,
know why, we just decided that we were going to go with it.
okay, that's a lovely thing to think about on a Monday morning.
Yeah, well, listen, I've thought of worse on a Monday morning.
Lauren, we want to do some quick fire questions with you. So just one worded answer. Don't
Oh,
worry, it's
God.
nothing too scary.
Yeah, but I just don't know what's going to come out of my mouth with these things. Right, go on.
Don't worry,
Excellent.
don't
Go
worry.
low.
Cece's had worse go in her mouth than what's going to come out of yours.
There we are. We're in.
Right then.
We're in.
So let's
We're
start
in.
nice and easy. Lauren, date night in or date night out?
Date night out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
In person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream job.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Oh, I love a chat up line.
Whose opinion of your partner is more important, friends or family?
Friends.
PDA or stay away?
Oh, PDA. Love a snog in public.
DM slider or occasional, I can't even speak. Occasional.
Occasional.
Prolapse, right. DM slider
Occasional.
or occasional liker.
DM slider. Yeah.
Dating one or more?
More.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
Player.
yeah, there she
No,
is.
really not even that deep. I just is like, I don't like putting too much energy into one person.
Yeah, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread
Yeah,
them about a
exactly.
bit.
Yeah,
Oh,
exactly.
God. Okay,
Big
thanks,
spoon
Pete.
or little spoon?
Have you seen the size of me? I'm always little spoon.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah. Okay.
You've passed. That was it. You've
That was
passed
it.
the quick. Well done.
Round of applause for me.
Okay. So, Lauren, our topic this week is dating with an illness. You are an expert in this field. I know a little bit about your story, obviously, from First Dates Hotel. But do you want to just share a bit about what you're up to? What does it mean for you?
Well, 2016, I got a little bit of tick cancer. I was only 31. Found the lump. It was totally out of the blue. So as you can imagine, you're walking around life as a 31-year-old in your prime, living your best, and the rug gets ripped from underneath you. So I went through the whole process of cancer treatments. So that was like chemotherapy, lumpectomy. Luckily, I got to keep my little boobs, but they cut a chunk out, and radiotherapy, and then ongoing hormonal treatments. So I'm technically in a medical menopause now at 36, because I'm not allowed to have raging hormones around my body, because that's what made the cancer grow so quickly. So I am now, this year will be 5 years cancer free, which means I can officially say remission. So I'm excited for that.
What do you mean you can officially say it? Is it a period of time before you can officially say that then? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. So when I came out of my treatment, I think because the recurrence rates could be quite high for my type of breast cancer, they kind of say 5 years and we say, all right, you're in remission.
Right.
I think the danger zone is the first 5 years. Fingers crossed, because I will get a clear scan again this year. It's remission. But yeah, I just talk, as you can imagine, like, it's one thing going through something like cancer and trying to still be a young woman who, I'm not gonna lie, like, I've always been a real sexual person. I love dating, I love getting myself out there, and, you know, to then all of a sudden feel like not yourself, not in your body, not sexy in any way, and then go through a medical menopause as well, which is like, as someone who's always had a high libido, for then to it massively drop, it's back now, result, but it for a long time it wasn't. But it's a lot of change, and I think it's a lot more than people realize. The impact, people just think you have cancer, it goes away and you crack on, which is partly true, but there's so much more nuance to it long term.
Presumably when you were going through treatment and everything else, the last thing on your mind was dating anyway.
Yeah, but I was on the apps.
Oh, so you still hungry for the dick?
Partly that, yeah. I think it had curative properties, in my opinion.
Okay, so you were still on the apps, but no, in all seriousness, so you were still on the apps, but was that more as like a, like to pass time type thing? Do you know what I mean?
To feel like myself. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like myself. All my mates were going out still and doing bits, and I'm like sat at home in my bed, like getting more and more like a Maris potato every day. And you know, I was just like, I don't feel like me. And it was a way of me. It wasn't catfishy because I didn't change any of my pictures, but it was just a way of me talking and flexing that flirt muscle and feeling like myself when I was really sick. And
sort of a way to almost feel like normal again.
Yeah. I wanted to just be treated like me, because everyone else around me, I was sick person. So yeah, it was interesting. So I didn't feel bad.
You weren't telling the dates about your situation, right? So you were just doing it.
I went on a date. I did go on a date, and I look back now and I'm like, oh, mate, it was such a pity date. It was actually really embarrassing. I think it was like the end of chemo 4. So I got really bad rashes on my face in my second part of my chemo, but in the most part, I just was really puffy and had a massive ball patch. So I used to wear a bandana, like Tupac. I tried to make it work, tried to make it cool.
Nice.
And a red lippy, like, but obviously, you know, I was talking to this guy and he really wanted to take me for a drink, and
did he know then, Lauren?
No, that's when I told him. I said, look, I've got to be really honest with you. I said, I've got breast cancer. I'm in treatment. I said, I completely understand if you don't want to go on a date. Don't feel like you have to, because at the minute I'm not very much myself. I said, but it is a process I am going to come out the other end of. And I think, yeah, like, we went on the date, but it was very much him asking me about what I was going through, and it just felt a bit like he got so far in that he didn't want to back out. But I honestly was like, totally understand it if you don't fancy it. And then I did have other people I told him, and they just go away. And I'm like, cool, that's fine.
Oh, so kind of some you told, some you didn't, and some, right, okay, I hear you. So that is like, so how did you navigate that after? Like, at what point did you say, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm going to finish the treatment and then continue? Or did you just continue the whole way through? Like, what did you decide?
No, it was after that date, I think. To me, it just felt like a bit of a pointless exercise, because I'm such an ill real life person. I've bloody, we'll get into it after, but I don't do the apps anymore. Like, I just really struggle with that whole painting a picture of yourself. I'd rather get in front of you and actually get the measure of you as a person. Mm-hmm. And when I was sick, it was kind of like those conversations were running more than I'd want them to. I'd normally be like, well, let's get a drink in, let's see if there's anything there. So yeah, it was after that, really. And I didn't like the feeling of being on a date with someone who was clearly taking me on a date because I felt like they felt sorry for me. And actually, it's like, I may have had cancer, but I'm not a charity case. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like that. So I just decided to stop. And to be honest, like, the side effects started getting mad worse than that. And I was like, it's not worth it. The only really annoying thing, I've got to be honest with you, about being in cancer treatment is you are as smooth as a fucking dolphin for the best part of a year. You are silky smooth. And I was like, no fucker is getting to experience the joy.
Is it like your skin, you mean?
Yeah.
All of your hair. Like, when I started to lose my hair, I'm not joking, I started to lose my hair. And I was like, sitting there, and I was like, fucking hell, it's coming out. And then I went to the toilet and I wiped myself and hair comes out. So then I just started getting fascinated. So I'd just be like, oh, more's come out. It's the weirdest thing.
So no pain of waxing.
Fuck. No waxing, no shaving, no nothing. And so, not one fucker got to experience the joy.
And no one got to experience fucking Lauren the Dolphin.
The Dolphin. That's my
name. So since you got the all clear then, have you changed kind of the way you date, would you say? Do you think you've changed that? Because you said you were on the apps and that before and you don't use them now. Yeah. Is there a reason for that? Like, have you changed the way you date? Has the dating landscape changed for you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've asked the same question four different ways there and I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I get it. I really want to
try another one. Go on, ask again. What else?
Yeah, yeah, no. It was basically the same question four different ways, but I can try that another way. So since you got the all clear, like, presumably the way you date now has changed differently to how it was before, if you get what I mean. I don't know if you do.
I do get what you mean.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You know what I mean? I can explain it another way if you like.
No, I think I've got it. Let me just check. I'll try and answer that for you.
Good.
But I, do you know what? It's been a process. So, like, when I got out of cancer treatment, obviously the first thing I wanted to do was be out dating, but I don't think I'd realise how vulnerable I felt physically as well. My body's going through a lot of changes, and I, as well with, like, medical menopause, like, I was getting night sweats and things like that, and it just made me not want to share a bed with someone because I was like, oh, I'm just going to be, like, slimy. But what I did was I just went back to reheating old meat, and I just got some ex-boyfriends out of the closet and I just started having sex with them because I just felt like they know my story. They know who I am. They know my body. Yeah. And I didn't feel uncomfortable around them. Like, bless them, one of the guys that I used to sleep with that I pulled back out of the cupboard, it was during radiotherapy, and like my boob was like quite burned and sore, and your nipples get really sore and they weep. It's not nice. So I always had this little plaster on my boob, and she had sex, didn't even bat an eyelid, and it was nice. Aww. And it's what I needed at the time because I still wanted to feel sexy and get back to myself, but I also wanted to not have to explain or, you know, worry what someone thinks when actually I didn't care what they thought.
So do you feel like now then when you go on dates you have to explain your story to everyone?
It's annoying because it's my job. Like, I don't feel like I need to go into it, but it's because it's what I do. People are like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a founder of a charity and I've got a podcast on the BBC. Oh, what's that about? It's about cancer. Oh, right. And then I'm like, yeah, because I had it. So, but what I try and do is just
I suppose you can't really get round it, can you?
No, but what I try and do is just really keep it top level.
Yeah.
And then just say it. Because I started to realise, like, without sounding like really wanky and really like self-inflated, but my story is quite impressive. And what's happened since my diagnosis, even like doing first dates and stuff right after radiotherapy and all that jazz, like, I've done a lot. And I think what then happens is they just sit there and they're a bit like, oh my God. And it's like, no, I just want you to know me. I want you to know me. Like, I can be a bit of a twat. Just because I've had cancer doesn't mean that I'm evangelical. Like, everyone's just normal, and I don't want them to all of a sudden go, oh my God, you're so amazing. I hate it. It's like, it's amazing what I've gone through and survived, and what I'm doing is great. I'm really proud of what I do, but I'm Loza. Like, I just don't, that is like over there now. So it's a funny one.
Done, like, tried the both. So this is after your chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Mm. Have you ever done the, like, I'm going to go on a date and not tell this person, or I'm going to go on a date and tell them, like, as in, I mean, after, I know you're doing it during, but have you tried that?
Yeah, I've done a bit of both. Like sometimes it doesn't even come up. Like you get people and they're like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I run a charity, got a podcast on BBC. Oh, that's wicked. It's like, yeah, I love it. And I don't really go into it. It doesn't happen with everyone, but it does tend to come up because, and then you know what people are like. It's like Inspector Bloody Gadget. Like people are straight online and they're like, oh, if I tell them the name of my charity, they're on Google. And then they're like, oh, I've done a bit of Googling. And it's all that jazz.
I fucking hate Google sometimes, you know. It's so easy. It's just so easy to find out everything about anyone as soon as you put the name in.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as it, so almost when you actually go on dates, this is actually an interesting topic. I know it's going slightly away from it, but you actually go on dates. How much you actually tell someone, I think, makes a difference as to whether or not you see them again sometimes, because you can give away a little bit too much. And if people do go on Google stuff and go fucking mad, who was it last week? Steph Todd said last week, didn't she? When she was on, that she actually Googled where the guy lived.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can literally find out everything.
You can literally find fucking anything out.
Yeah, you can.
So, as much as you try and keep it vague because you want to, you know, get past this certain things that some people don't necessarily want to talk about. For example, you don't want to just spend a whole day talking about yourself and talking about your story because then you never find out about that person.
Yeah.
Similarly, I never want to just fucking talk about myself and my story because you never find out about that person. Cece, it'd be the same thing. But then what happens is then they'll go and Google it all anyway. And then you never get a chance to actually tell them your story. They've read it or they've heard and made an assumption based on what they've seen or read or heard, not you telling them, which then... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
100%. That's why I don't as well.
It's
that's interesting, actually,
you saying that.
Yeah, because it's, for me, I want to know you as a person. That's why I like the in real life more, because it's, you get to know someone. And I'm an open book anyway, like genuinely what you see is what you get. But it's still like you said, that's my story to share. I don't want you to have an assumption of me and I don't want anyone to pity me. I don't want anyone to go, oh, she's the cancer girl. And that's something that I struggle with at the minute. I'm really trying to like find some separation because, yeah, like that's my job and that was my lived experience, but that's not all I am. Like I don't walk around going about the time that I fractured my ankle in Dubai at a Hindu. I still don't talk about that. Do you know what I mean? So why do I need to keep talking about...
It must be really hard though. I mean, on the other side of it, like say, you know, you're going on a date with someone and you do mention it. It's like you want to show that you're interested in someone by saying, oh, can I ask more questions? How, like, you know, it's like you want to be invited to ask. But at the same time, you don't want it to become that. I think it's really hard on both sides. I don't think, you know, I fully like, I can try and understand from your perspective, but I think you do want to know. Like, I mean, there's things that I leave out of my dating. It's not like I have like date three, I'll say this, but date one, it is, I've pulled back a lot now because I'm a very, very open book and my dates are sometimes 6 to 9 hours long. And I've realized by, you know, 2 hours in, you can kind of have a nice and get like, you can learn a lot. 6 hours in with 10 tequilas down your throat, you're like, this is fucking me. And then they kind of like got the whole story on tequila. And I'm like, why do I need to share that? And then, you know, it becomes an overshare. So I think it's a difficult one for everybody. I feel for you. I really do, because I wouldn't want to.
I think I've just got really good at moving the convo on now. So like, I'm quite good at saying what I need to say. And then I'll be like, right, I was like, it's a story for another day. We'll go into it another day.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, but also they respect the boundary then, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it helps that you are quite, and I mean this in the loveliest way, you're quite a mouthy fuck. So, so actually when you say, right, we're going to talk about something else, then it happens. If you're, it's some people that are a little bit more shy, I think would probably struggle to move the conversation on. But where you're so blunt, which is a great thing, same as me, like when I don't want to talk about something, I'm like, right, let's change the subject now. We talk about something else. And I think that probably, it probably helps, because then people are like, right, okay, that's too far on that. Now we will talk about something else. Does that make sense?
I also have it does, but I also have the real privilege. And I always think about this a lot in my community. Like I've had breast cancer. I've been through all the treatments. I've not had a mastectomy. I've kept my breasts. Mm. So physically, outwardly, you would barely even know that I'd had anything. So all when it comes to me having sex and being vulnerable and things in that respect and being naked and laying yourself bare, literally, it's not something I ever feel self-conscious of now, because you can barely see the scars. Whereas for other people in my community, if they've got stoma bags, or if they've got, you know, they've lost both their breasts or they've got reconstructive surgery, it's so much more a physical thing. And I think for them, it's like a bigger vulnerability, and it takes more for them to get to that point of undress than it would for me, because that's so much more to carry and have someone accept. And a lot of people do go through horrible situations where you know, they confide in someone and they do back away. And it is a hard thing because it's like, I don't want to judge someone for doing that. But also it just, it hurts. It hits different.
Have you had, obviously we're talking about whether or not you tell your dates or whatever. Have you had some bad reactions or good reactions or some weird reactions if you've told people and you've been on dates?
Oh, the fella I was dating like during the pandemic, I call him my pandemic. You're welcome.
Do you know what? You've had two phrases today that I fucking love. Reheat old meat, which is a fucking, is an absolute gem. And pandemic, here for it.
Yeah, pandemic.
Honestly. Anyway, tell us about pandemic.
Yeah, so look, lube is a big part of my sexual play now because I am in medical menopause. I can get wet, but I cannot stay like that the whole however long we're going. So a bit of lube, love a bit of lube. It's not a big deal. But his ego, every time I was like, babe, get the lube, he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, no, babe, I'm in medical fucking menopause. Stop ruining the fucking moment. It's shit like that does my head in because that's not me, that's them. Like, it's got nothing to do with you.
That's a private
thing. And I've made that clear.
Yeah.
I've made that clear. I've said it from the offset. And it's like, I even like got him back out of the cupboard at the end of last year, you know, needs must. And but even though he'd slept with me for like over a year and then it'd been like 6 months, he still, when I got it out again, he was like, oh, you're not horny. And I was like, how many fucking times do I have to have this conversation? So it's things like that, really, I'll be honest. It's
Pandem Dick does not sound like the greatest fucking person. That's just stroking the ego.
Oh, babe, no, the other day, I'll tell you this as well. So the other day, because I'm moving house and I'm going to, so me and Candice are like both moving out of here. She's gone back to the pub and I'm moving to Leighton. So I told him because we're going to be neighbors and he started asking me loads of questions. This is like off topic, but I need to tell you.
Is this pandemic?
This pandemic started asking me loads of questions. He's like, oh, so have you got a boyfriend now or whatever? I said, no. He's like, you sleeping with people? I was like, yeah. And he's like, is it good? I was like, why would you ask me that?
God.
It's really hit. You've really given him a complex. You have. You've absolutely.
It's not me.
Him.
No, it's not that anyway.
Oh, is he not that anyway?
Do not blame him that brush. No way. He was like that when I got with him. He was. He's very needs his ego stroked.
Yeah.
Big among other things. Yeah. I was just like, why would you? I would never ask him if the girls he was sleeping with was any good. I don't care.
Can you get another one? Can you get a pandemic too? Or like,
she don't need a pandemic.
No, there's a couple on the roster. Don't worry, it's good. All right. There's a couple on the roster. Yeah, he's out the window.
Good.
Yeah, we're not in a pandemic anymore. Can we just call him pandemic anyway?
He's pandemic.
We need to
what
think
would
of something.
This guy be called
post-pandemic.
Post-pandemic. Post-pandemic.
Post-pandemic. Oh god, that's a mouthful.
A post-restriction Rogerin.
Oh, nice.
So, Lauren, are you looking for? I hate that word. No, let me rephrase it. But what do you want now? Do you want a partner? You want fun? You like, where are you at?
It's I'm easy with whatever comes. Like, I think what happened was, I all of a sudden got a massive wake up call when I got diagnosed, and one of the first things I ever thought about when they said, "Oh, like you've got cancer." First of all, it was like, I don't want to die. Second of all, it was, but I haven't even got back to my kids. And then I was like, hang on, who said that? I didn't even know I wanted that. I still don't know if I want that. But it was just that moment of those big life moments that I hadn't fulfilled. So
do you think it was a panic then that made you think about that? And then actually it's sort of like where you've been cancer-free for 5 years, you've kind of gone back to actually now I can think exactly what I do want because does that make sense? It's like you've got your head
100%.
Around everything. Yeah.
100%. And I think as well, it's just, you know, I started to realise, you know, there was no time to lose. And if I did want those things, that I would have to start making steps. But I thought the steps would be like going on first dates, like really putting myself out there. And actually what it was doing the work on myself and healing from the trauma and figuring out who I was as a person was what is needed for me to get the kind of relationship I want. And like, you know, I posted about it this week on Instagram. I was during Valentine's Day and what I've learned mostly is that we focus so much on this romantic love that we forget about the other love in our life. Like my life is so full of love. It's so rich full of love. I've got the best mates you could ask for. I love my fucking job. My family are incredible. Like I have a really, really lovely life and I've got a lot of love to give. But I think because I feel so full, I don't feel the need to be like desperately searching. I can just enjoy what's coming. And if it is something amazing that I want to hold on to, then great. But if it's not, fine, I'd rather wait. I'd rather be single into my 50s than be with the wrong person because I was scared of being alone. That's Amen. Why like, I've, it's true. Yeah. And like, I came off all the apps and stuff because I was just getting so fed up of putting so much energy. I realise now how much precious my time and energy is. And I put a lot into the loves of my life, my job, my family, friends. So when I sit on the sofa after a day, what I don't want to be doing is then being on my phone. And it's admin. It's basically admin.
Yeah.
And I'm spending time on people who haven't proved that they're worthy, who I have no idea about. I'm projecting what I want them to be on their messages.
Mm-hmm.
So now, honestly, to God, I am the best person. When I go out, because I'm like a Pokemon, you got to catch me in the wild, mate. If you, I'm not on an app. So if you don't come and talk to me, which mm-hmm. men don't, they don't. So it's me. I got a boy's number last night in the pub. I get one most weekends now because I'm like, what have I got to lose? They say it's not personal.
What happened? Tell me all. I love this.
I do find it really bad that blokes don't chat women up. Blokes just don't chat people up anymore. I find that absolutely nuts.
It's so nice to be chatting up as well.
It really is.
I love chatting birds up. I think it's the best thing. And I can't understand why people don't do it.
Well, there's a couple of avenues I go into. So if you're like in the club or the bar and it's loud and you're
in the club. Sorry, it's a thing me and CC have done before every time anyone says in the club. Love it. So we're in the club.
So when I'm in the club and it's loud and whatever, and I know it's a guy, I will go up to him, honestly, hand on heart, and I'll say to him, I'm really sorry. I just need to congratulate you on your face. Your mum and dad did a wonderful job.
Oh, fucking Lauren.
And then I'll go have a good night and I'll walk away. Because the thing is, I don't know if he's got a bird and I don't want to be that person. And she might be in the club.
So but if they're interested,
I'm a fire starter. And if they're interested, they find me. Or they'll talk to me at the bar later, or I'll see them. So that's one thing that's really good in those kind of situations.
God, but I like, love that. It's a chat-up line. You've actually got a chat-up line. That's brilliant.
Yeah, congratulations on your face. It's spectacular. Wow. And they're like, I'm like, no, genuinely. And then...
That is awesome.
But it's not too aggressive. It's funny, but not too aggressive. And it's clear that I'm attracted to you. So it's like, what are you going to do about it? And then... Because I do struggle as well with being a woman. Like, I'm quite a masculine energy in that I am quite... alpha female, I'm out there, but actually I'm fed up of it. I want someone to like come up to me. I hate that I have to be put in that position because then I don't want lads to think I'm a bit too boy-y. It is what it is. I did it the other week. It was a geezer at the bar and I thought he looks good, so I strategically went and ordered a glass of wine next to him. We started talking and then I sat down. I was like, no, I fancy him. So as I was leaving, I was like, his name's Cal. I was like, Cal. So yeah, I was like, do you have a bird?
How did you know his name?
Because we started chatting at the bar previously.
Oh, sorry. You checked at the bar, sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, can I get your number? And he just went, what? I went, how would you feel about me having your number? He's like, I'd love to give you my number. It's a bit complicated. I went, don't worry about it. He went, no. They found me on Instagram. Then we started talking. That turned out that he did have a bird. So that was not nice. But the guy last night.
So it wasn't that complicated, really, was it? It was quite simple. He just didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He wanted to have his cake and eat it. He wanted to have his laws and eat it. That's what he wanted.
Well, Cal just got outed on the podcast, so it's fine. Yeah.
He did.
Sorry, Cal.
And yeah, sorry about that, Cal. But the guy last night, he's a barman in my local pub and he's fucking fit, man. Like, whenever I go in there, I'm like, yeah, man. And then the girls were with me, they were like, you need to speak to him. So, like, throughout the day, I kept like talking to him. So when he came over, I was like, what's your name? And he's like, oh, Jack, if you're listening. And I was like, oh,
hey, Jack, what's happening, fit barman?
Yes, Jack.
What's happening, fit barman?
In the pub. Where are you? In the middle of the pub? Are you in the pub? You just go for a drink in the pub.
In the pub.
Go for a drink in the pub. But yeah, no, he just kept coming over. So I got his name and we were talking and I can't remember what he said or something. And because he said he's French. And we were like, but you speak like us. And he's like, yeah, I was dating this girl from Billericay. And we were like, dating. And I went, past tense. And he said, Joey broke up in the summer. I was like, do you need someone to make you feel better? And he went, maybe. And I was like, okay.
So then I
was leaving, I went and got his number. Although, that number don't work.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if he's giving me a dud or whether it's been a mistake, but my mate goes in the pub all the time. So I'm like, listen, you need to go and ask him because you can pie me to your face, not my own.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. I don't know. I'm hoping it was a mistake.
Have you always been that confident? Or this is like, post, sorry...
I think it's post. I think before I cared more about what men thought of me. And also, like, I probably thought, you know, it's boy's job to talk to a girl. And I prefer it that way because it's a lot to keep putting yourself out there and not be sure or get knocked back. It takes a lot. But I've been through so much in my life. I don't care. It's not that deep. Like, for me to say I fancy you and you say, oh, like, I'm taken or I'm not really into it or, like, not right now, you can make up a lie. You ain't got to tell me, like, I don't fancy you. But it's... I just think life is... I'm not on the apps. I'm probably not going to see them again. So why would I run the risk of, like, going, oh, do you know what? I should have spoke to him. And I just wish more fellas were doing it. I know it's a lot and I know it can be really embarrassing, especially when you're younger. Like, I probably wasn't nicest to boys when they chatted me up. I'd probably be like, oh, no. Whereas now, but I like
you have to go through that as a man, though. You have to go through that. You've got to be in it to win it. And I know it's... because we've had this discussion before, Cece. I know you like, I think you've always said, oh, yeah, just because I'm fairly confident with stuff, but some people aren't. But I do feel like you have to take the bull by the horn sometimes. You've got to fucking put yourself out there. We all get rejected. I've been rejected a million times. Loads of people get rejected. But it's you kind of have to go through that because the feeling when it does work out is better than just meeting someone on an app.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like,
and
I would rather...
the confidence you get off of it and that even, you know, 1 out of 100, the confidence you get from that is it outweighs the 99 times that people have said no.
I agree, and I just feel like I'd rather shoot my shot in real life and get knocked back than spend loads of time on an app and energy in someone that I'm going to meet and not even fancy.
Because there's nothing worse than what if, I tell you.
There isn't. So, yeah, I am.
Do you think, though, that sets... Well, maybe the way you're doing it, Lauren, is different because I think you're...
Yeah, that's a smart way because that's basically you're a fire starter. I like that.
Yeah,
because no, then they've got to put then they've got to do the rest, but... Yeah,
I think that's the key, isn't it? Having them play their part too, because otherwise, I don't know. Like, I can only say this by the friends that I have who have started the relationship. Like, they've been made the first move. They wear the trousers, and I mean, it's lovely wearing the trousers, but you also want someone to like match you or take over and wear the trousers sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think the way you're doing it is you're dropping a little seed to say that here I am, and then it gives. You know, if they've got the balls, then they're going to come over after. I think I'm going to start using that. I've never approached a guy ever.
Do you know what, Cece? Bali is the perfect place for you to be doing that as well.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I'll do it, but I'll take note.
Next week,
babe, you've got my line now. You can use it in Bali. I can't wait to go to Bali in a couple of years and someone comes up to me and goes, "Your face is sensational." And I'll be like, "Where'd you hear that?" I'll be like, "This girl called Cece."
Yes, circulating around Bali. I love that.
Right,
well, Lauren, listen, we are going to now play the Love the Way You Lie game.
Oh.
You know about this, yeah?
I do know about this.
Okay, fabulous.
Are you ready
for
this?
So each week we get a guest to tell us 3 stories about an experience to do with dating, 2 of which are true, 1 of which is a lie.
Okay.
We have to guess which one is the lie. I am...
Shit.
Dreadful at this. Cece is like, she's like Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, she is. Yeah, Poirot over there. And I am fucking dog shit. Right, let's go.
Story or statement number 1.
Okay, so I went on a date off the apps. I'm always attracted to the Irish guys because I'm obviously Irish. And we went out, got on really well, had a snog, didn't go back to his luckily because it turns out we were cousins. Like third cousins, but cousins.
Fuck, lovely.
Okay. So, story 1, incest. Story 2?
Story 2 is public nudity. I was out in Marbella. and it's fair to say, I wouldn't say frigid. I was a bit more reserved back then. Hard to imagine, I know. So, I was in the club. One of them ones with the fancy.
The club.
The clubs.
And mini club. Mini club.
And so I chatted to this boy, Essex boy, obviously, Pete. And yeah, ended up snogging him. And we were all going back to our apartments for like afters and drinks. And as we were walking, like he pulled me into a bush and was snogging me and was like, basically dropped trowel in the bush. I don't think, he obviously thought he was getting a blozzer. And I just went, I'll be right back. I'm going to get a condom. And I left him in the bush with his trousers down. And I later saw him in a pilot for a reality TV show, which was fun.
Do I know who it is?
I don't know because I can't even remember
Hold
his
on.
Name.
It wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't you, love.
Was it you?
Just so you have to check these things.
Yeah, imagine that would be brilliant.
All right, so one, incest, two, dick in bush, three.
is bodily functions. So I once went on a date with a guy, really, really fancied him. Went back to his, but I was way too drunk to, like, get it on. And so I stayed the night, and I woke up in the morning because I'd farted so loud into his crotch that I'd woke both of us up. And then I had to pretend I was asleep while he lay there laughing.
I hope that's true.
Okay. So, incest,
I love
dick
you.
In bush, air shit on dick. Okay.
Oh, this is so good. All of them.
I mean, Cece, do you want to start us off?
I've got no questions. I'm just going to go in for the guesses. Have you got questions?
I don't think I do, actually. I think they're all pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I know. I don't think there's anything.
There's not much you can ask about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's. In fact, let's ask a question for fun anyway. Did Dick in Bush have a big dick?
Do you know what? I can't remember. And I was quite
there
young.
You go,
then, so I don't think I had enough experience.
No one that answers it then. If you can't remember, that answers it. All right. I do have one question. So the first one, do you see each other at family occasions?
No.
Okay.
It's a really far cousin. So I hadn't met before. So
all right, then.
That's why. Yeah. We just realised we are related. That's, okay. Yeah. Irish families, man.
Sweet.
Okay. I think the false is number two.
Don't say. Marbella one. What do you think?
I think it's number three.
The false is number three?
Yeah.
The false is the cousin. I left a guy in a bush with his dick out and I farted into a guy's crotch.
Oh, but you haven't shagged it. Well, I mean, listen, it's probably a good one. That the cousin one, the incest one, was the more serious one. But do you know what's bad is that Cece and I have absolutely no faith in you that we thought, she probably shags her cousin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were like, no, that for me was...
Hey, I did say that we kissed, we didn't go home together. I did say that in the story.
Yeah, that one's definitely
true. Yeah, I couldn't go that far.
Shags her cousin? Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, dick in a bush and... dick in a bush and that that situation. Yeah. I remember vividly. I swear to God, his dick vibrated against my bum cheek. It was that loud, and I was just like, because I think I forgot where I was.
And you just pretended you were asleep while he giggled.
Yeah, but he knew. He knew.
That is
him again, obviously.
Did he ever bring it up?
No. But then he did go back. He did go and have a shower, and then was sitting on, obviously on his toilet on happen, and I was still in his bed, and I was like, do you know what, fair, like I've absolutely done myself no favours here.
He was on happen
because you can see when people are online. So later when I went on it, he was like last online. I was like, I was in your bed at that time, bro. Okay.
Okay.
I understand.
I think he gets a pass. Yeah, you understand. Yeah, exactly.
I understand. Yeah, not my finest hour.
Well.
I am a catch, though, boys. Like, don't worry about it.
I mean, sounds it. You literally blew him away. thank you. I'm here all week. Lauren, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Just love speaking to you over Zoom. We seem to do it quite a lot.
Yeah, no, we need to make sure it's not Zoom. Cece, can you both come out and see her?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, the invite is open. Please do.
Yes, just go out there.
You can teach me how to chat up men. And Pete, actually, you can teach me how to chat up men. You can be the wingman.
Oh, right.
Your face.
I was going to say, the way you said that is like I've got experience in it.
You can teach me.
I'm going to come and spend some time with your Irish friends.
Well, my friends, yeah. I thought you were going to say that.
But yes, Lauren, thank you so much. Much love.
Thank you.
Yeah,
have a great day.
Love you to bits. Thanks, darlings.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Love it. Love it. Stories. Oh, she's, do you know what? She's very, very good. I feel like... It's almost like she's got an acting background or something. She's very, very good.
Well, you've got to remember, she hosts her own podcast.
I know, but it's not like a hopcast. Can't talk today. It's not a podcast on lying, is it? Like, create the lie and be the best.
Oh, I thought you meant just because, you know, because some people, because you know what it's like when you do things, like some people are just very good and some people are, shit. So you should... But yeah, so Lauren, much fun. We like Lauren.
We like Lauren.
from what I've heard, I've never actually been on a night out with her yet. But she lives with someone.
Oh, you already know she's going to be a fucking awesome night out.
But you just know she's going to be in the club. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Dating Show on Fubar Radio, which is what you're doing now. We've got listeners' questions and stories coming up. Well, we've just got one today because we spent so long talking to Lauren because she's great. But if you do want to send any of your stories and questions to us for next week, then send them to thedatingshow@fubarradio.com. We love to hear from you, and we promise we will have more time next week to go through more. But this week, we've just got Gemma. And Gemma, we don't need to guess where Gemma's from because she's wrote to us for a start, so we won't know the accent. And also, it tells us where she's from. Where's she from, Cece?
She's from Essex.
She's from Essex. Would you like to read it or shall I?
Essex. I'll do it in an Essex accent.
Can you please do it in an Essex accent?
I'm not going to do it in an Essex accent because I think it will detract from the story, but I think we get the point. So about 15 years ago, one Sunday afternoon, I got dressed up in my best sexy underwear and laid it out on the sofa. My boyfriend walked in, looked at me and said he was going to the gym and didn't want to have sex. We argued and he left. I searched his laptop after a hunch and found that he was shagging a woman he worked with, who also worked in the same building as me. We broke up later that week and I moved out. I went back one evening to collect my things when he was with her, and as I was about to leave, I needed a wee. Just as I sat down, I saw a newly opened bottle of mouthwash. So I poured half of it out and pissed in it. I'm not sure if he ever realised, but it gave me great pleasure knowing he was kissing her with my piss on his breath. Pete, thoughts? Yay or nay?
I mean, we always say that the retaliation is not great, but that is quite funny. It's quite funny.
So we say retaliation isn't great when it's like, depending on the scenario, but this guy's, he was doing the dirty.
He was being a dirty bird. Like, he'd come home and he was doing the dirty because he was
shagging a missus down the road.
He was putting his carrot in right up in someone else's field.
Right up in there.
He was ploughing another field. I'm not even a farmer anymore.
That we've gone farming, she's from Essex. We flow. So,
listen, I love the story, Gemma. Listen, I'm here for it. I would like to know when you pissed in the bottle, because they've got quite small openings, these bottles. So,
yes,
I mean, if they've got great eight, is it?
No,
this is more a biology thing for me, Ned. I mean, is your aim?
So, I will educate you this week. Depending on, there's lots of different variables, but let's go with the obvious, which is whether you've had a wax or not. If you are completely waxed, it is harder to pee in a straight line. If you have hair there, sometimes it's easier because the hair guides the pee. Ladies will know about this. If you've ever had a wax and you try and pee in a straight line, it's a no fucking bueno. It doesn't happen. You look very confused.
No.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So maybe she hadn't had a wax and that's why it was easier. Or maybe she has a certain type of wax that allows pee in a straight line.
I feel sorry for the bird that he was fucking.
I don't.
Well,
she didn't know.
I was just about to say, you don't know that she knew. You don't know if she knew.
If they worked in the same building, I'm pretty sure she would know.
Oh, yeah, she probably did know. Yeah.
And they lived together. I'm pretty sure she knew.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Everybody's drinking her piss. Everybody in the club.
Everybody in the club.
Everybody in the club. Drinking her piss.
I'm in the club.
Smelling like urine. It rhymed.
It's an all-time low for us.
Okay, it's the end anyway, so about time. End the show. Low. I almost want to say, should we take that out? Because that was disgusting.
Yeah, that was just singing in the club, spinning that piece. Anyway, listen, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Gemma, for your story. We love
Gemma.
Smashing the life out of it. Next week, we will do more listeners' question stories because I do love them.
We'll keep it lighter.
But thank you everyone for listening to The Dating Show on Food Bar Radio. You can catch up with everything else that we are doing throughout the week, including some very funny memes or memes or whatever the fuck they are that our producer puts together.
Memes,
yeah, that's what, whatever the fuck they are, GIFs and GIFs and all that sort of shit. And you can find that at the dating_show, which is the home, the HQ, the hub. It gets harder to say. I used to do it really well.
Just say our Instagram page if you want. You could just say that.
All right.
Or our
Instagram page, which is the dating_show. So on that note, off your fuck. Ta-da.